Okay, Olympics lovers, here we are. We've got our shirts, we got our bracelet things, we got our pins. Yesterday we all had Danish because everybody was in Denmark, and the voting starts officially at 10:10. And
they start eliminating countries.
I know, and I know everybody is very jealous. Even the people in Indiana, they're saying, "Hey, come on, can't we just get a little of this too?" And so, no, actually, we are very pleased to have Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels with us. We've been promoting that you'd be here. I thought you'd come in and, you know, ride in your Harley.
Which one?
Why?
And there are two.
I know. You've got the bad black one.
Yeah, that's right.
When you ride that, do you wear your full gear, your leathers?
Only when it's cold, you know.
Yeah.
Life is complicated.
Family.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've had bikes for a long time, but never two at once until the last year. And it's complicated. It's like having two kids. You got to treat them equally or they get their feelings hurt.
Wait a second. You've got four kids, yeah. All females, mm-hmm. and a wife that's a female, too, oddly enough.
Yeah, let me point out she is female.
Yeah. So that means you've been an odd man out for a lot of years.
I'm housebroken. Let's put it that way.
Do you just get out of the house to issue orders, and then when you come home, you're meek?
I occasionally am thrown out of the house, and the last order I tried to give was a long time ago. So,
let me introduce Mitch Daniels to those who have just turned on their little clock radio and have never been outside the confines of Illinois. Mitch Daniels is something rare indeed, according to a Wall Street Journal article just recently, a few days ago. He's a popular Republican. President Barack Obama eked out an upset in Indiana last year, but Mitch Daniels, the Republican, beat his opponent by 18 percentage points and received more votes than anyone who had ever run in the state of Indiana. He swept 79 of 92 counties, nearly 60% of independents voted for him, 25% of Democratic voters, and his approval rating is near 70%. And Indiana has a surplus. Illinois has a big, big deficit. Maybe we can learn something this morning. Governor, what did you do that we're not doing?
Well, I haven't made a study of what y'all are doing over here, but I always say it's very mysterious. We spent less money than we took in, and that was the essence of that. We, ironically, our state was broke 4 years ago when everybody else was flush, and so we had to face this a little sooner than others. But having gotten on top of it, and it's been a daily effort, you just have to look for ways to stretch tax dollars every way you can. Concentrate the dollars you do have on the things that matter most. Law enforcement, protection of children have been our emphases, public education. And then you hang on when things got tough. We're hanging in for now.
Well, state tax revenues have plummeted, and meanwhile, states have increased their spending year after year after year. I mean, in our state, we just watch them increase their budget every year and claim that, you know, that it's getting cut if it doesn't have a big increase. How do we bring the state budget back into balance without raising taxes on the backs of the struggling taxpayers, devastated economy and business, both big and small? How do you do that?
Well, I'm, you know, shy about prescribing things. I just tell you that to other people in other places, all the situations are different. But, you know, somebody recently said, "Don't waste a crisis." Well, if you have one, yeah.
He's from here.
I understand. whether they had one or not, you had one here or in many, many states, you're hardly alone. And, you know, it's the time, I suppose, for somebody to step up and say, the way we're doing this doesn't work. We have to do big things differently. This is what we did in Indiana a few years ago. Over there, no question who the party of change is. And, you know, you do what any family would do. You do what a business would do. When the money's not there, you simply have to prioritize.
Cross off things on the list.
Yeah. I mean, government does a lot of things it doesn't have to do. At times like this, you have to do a little house cleaning.
Yeah.
Like what? You have something in Indiana called allotment. Could you explain that to us?
It's simply the governor's authority to not spend money that the legislature has made available or appropriated. And that's a good idea. I think I read that your legislature gave a limited amount of such a certain dollar figure of such authority to your governor. It's a good idea. You know, we look every day in every department for things we could do better or stop doing. And There are only so many great big moves you can make. You have to make 1,000 small ones all the time if you really want to keep the beast under control.
Yeah. We're going to continue with Governor of Indiana, Mitch Daniels, who seems to be doing an awful lot of things right. And we're one of the questions we're going to get to, and we'll ask you to, you can call with your questions at 591-8900. The Olympics may come to Chicago. Is that going to be a financial plus or a problem? We'll find out what the governor thinks. 17 until 7 at WLS. Medal winning Don Wade in Roma. I just awarded it to me. So I take that to the bank. It's 10 minutes to 7, and we're pleased to have Indiana's Governor Mitch Daniels here with us this morning to help us solve some of our problems.
He just survived a wedding, another wedding of his one of his daughters.
All right, let's cover the wedding first, and then we'll get to whether the Olympics is going to help us or hinder us.
Well, people live very extravagantly. We just saw a wedding where they probably spent over $100,000 on a wedding.
I spent my life as a to hear my friends and family tell it as a cheapskate, but when your daughter gets married, that goes out the window. And yeah, it, I'm glad there's just one more to go. You know, I was just over in China, trying to bring some jobs back, and I always knew they had a far more advanced, refined civilization than ours. Yeah, over there, the father, the groom pays for it.
What?
You know?
What are we, primitive?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Well, we all have to tighten our budgets, don't we? I mean, that's what you wrote a wonderful piece in the Wall Street Journal about the reset in state government, saying states are never going to have the same kind of money that they have had in the past to spend. What do we do about that?
Well, you just have to accommodate to that reality. I think this is right. You know, it's one of those things I sort of hope I'm wrong, but I fear that this is correct. That the point being that in past recessions, states would see the revenue drop, but it would snap back and it would catch back up within maybe a couple years to the line it was on. I don't think that's going to happen now. A big reason, there are several, but a big reason is people in their homes and families are not spending as much. We can see this. Savings rate went from negative to plus six almost overnight. And I think people have realized that borrowing too much, spending too much, the old-fashioned rules really haven't changed, and that they're getting back to that. And I don't think that we're going to see an immediate or even a long-term return to those spending patterns. And of course, when you raise a lot of your money from the sales tax, that matters a lot.
Let me ask you, Governor Daniels, whether the people who don't like you, and there are a few, the people who don't like you, are they basically the ones that had to be removed from some kind of government job, therefore don't like you for that reason, because you had to downsize the spending of the state? All of the fiscal responsibility involves not having every cousin and brother and sister and whatever on the payroll.
Well, first of all, I'd say, let's say disagree. I don't know. We try to be, we like everybody and we hope to be likable, but of course there are disagreements, but at this point in the game, we did a lot of very difficult things, a lot of things we'd rather not done, as I said a while ago, to get Indiana's government back in the black.
You had to cut things.
We did. Or at least slow things way down, let revenues catch up. And so there were a lot of folks who said, well, we need more for this and more for that, and that's what they'd been used to. And that caused some grumbling, and naturally enough. We did a lot of new things. Indiana's not a state that has been known for a lot of innovation. We've been conservative in the sense of let somebody else try things first. So we did some new things. We leased the Indiana Toll Road. Caused a heck of a stir. All right, it is now understood everywhere around the world as a grand slam. You know, we got $4 billion. We're rebuilding roads. Well, they're crumbling. You know, Michigan is grinding asphalt roads back to gravel right now because they are so busted. We're in a record-building road program. It didn't cost the taxpayer 1 cent. We didn't borrow a cent and leave the bill to our kids. So, but when you first do something that's brand new, you know, it's naturally enough, some folks misunderstand and or are led to misunderstandings. And so at this point in the game, the results are in. And that's why I think we appear to have a pretty good consensus in Indiana. It's a good idea to try these new things, and it's a good idea to get your spending under control. Now everywhere I go, people say, gosh, I read what's happening in Illinois or Ohio or California. I'm sure glad we're, that's not us.
Yeah.
Well, you have to mark things out with your allotment, such, you know, mark it out of the budget.
We're talking with Indiana governor. I'm so used to saying Illinois governor. We're going to talk with the Illinois governor at 7:30 this morning. He's in Copenhagen. I kind of wish he were in Springfield, but that's okay. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels, who's doing an awful lot of things right, and we'll find out maybe he's got a couple of tips for our state.
More details.
6 minutes to 7, WLS. Okay. 7:09 with Don Wade and Roma, the most positive, optimistic radio show in the universe. And Olympic boosters, I think, until somebody shows me that we're wrong. There's been a Mitch Daniels boomlet in Republican political circles lately. The governor of Indiana mentioned as a possible 2012 contender by a number of well-connected pundits. I'm reading from Byron York's piece. I know that you love that, Governor. Everybody talking about you running for the presidency. I know you're busy running the state of Indiana. But just for the record, say it again. Are you going to run for president?
No. It's all over the record, and I got a job that's more than full-time. And I just asked, after all, 10 months ago to be rehired, and having been, I think I'll just do what I was hired to do.
This is your first elected office. Before that, you were CEO of a pharmaceutical company. Mm. You also, Hudson Institute, which is a think tank, you ran that. Mm. Those are three totally different entities. Which one helps you most in as being governor of the state of Indiana?
You hope you learn something from every thing you get a chance to do. But clearly, in my case, it'd be business. Years in business, and running what amounted to a small business, and then being a part of a very large one. Every day you're measured. Every day you have to be accountable for results, and you have to. I learned an awful lot, especially at Eli Lilly, about trying to get large numbers of people to all do their own best work. It's the only way you succeed, and I think we've been able to. You know, take a lot of that to government. People say to me all the time, we like that you're running government like a business. I say, well, government is not a business, but it can sure be more business-like. And we look for every chance we can. We've saved, you know, jillions of tax dollars doing that.
I'm curious. You were an advisor to Ronald Reagan, and that alone would make you okay with me, because anybody that Ronald Reagan would choose as an advisor must have pretty good head on his shoulders.
He didn't need much advice from me. But
well, so give me your best assessment. Is the Olympics coming to Chicago and Illinois going to be a plus or a problem?
Well, I hope it's a plus. We're your neighbors. We're rooting for you. I expect you to win. I checked last night. There are 97 votes on the U.S. Olympic Committee. I predict Chicago will win 123-15.
Just like we do in our elections.
Yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure you're going to win. Johnny Weissmuller already mailed in his absentee ballot. So, you know, after you've caught the bus, what will you do with it? You've got years. People have years to work on this, hopefully. We were just talking off the air about how in a great beauty of the federal system here is we states can learn from each other, and we copy all the time things that Illinois did that were successful or somebody else did. I would just say if you go to school on the cities where it's gone badly and try to avoid their mistakes, and then it should be a great event. And
so,
Do
you think our city is very good at avoiding budget mistakes and budget overruns? I mean, we were looking at Vancouver; it has been faced with mighty overruns, billions of dollars in overruns, and made the same promise to its citizen that our mayor made to us about no taxes.
Well, there's certainly throughout its proud history, Chicago's been known as a city that works, and so I don't know any reason that this couldn't work. I've not made any study of this, but as I understand it, you have most of the physical venues you need. And I think that some cities I've watched that got in trouble with these events had to make huge capital investments, and then they couldn't get the money back. So if you don't have to do as much of that, maybe you can pull this off. And, you know, as I say, we're your neighbors. We're rooting for you. And
Will you reap economic benefits from having a...
Not clear. I mean, I think we'll some hotel rooms and things like this. I'm sure some of our workers will get a chance to work on whatever projects do get built. Again, we're happy whether we will be happy for you whether Indiana can count any extra change or not.
I'm curious about your opinion of California now realizing some of their mistakes in taxing, because we have some mistakes, I think, that have happened here in Illinois that have driven a lot of our businesses to your state. And I know you're
happy about that. Thank you very much.
So in our state, we're talking about raising income taxes 50% or whatever big chunks. And that and if we raise corporate taxes, we run the businesses out of the state, they flee to states like yours or to other states that are more business friendly. And then more people have jobs in those states, don't they? So you think differently than our political leaders here.
Well, we'll just speak for ourselves. But just to be clear, we worked hard to balance budgets and limit spending in our state because it's the right thing to do and we think it's our duty to do. But that's not really the end game or the end goal. The end goal is what you just talked about. And that is to leave as much money as we can in the pockets of our citizens and the businesses that they make up, and so that they can earn more money next year and keep more of it. And so we just cut property taxes a third in our state. You move from Illinois to Indiana right now, and your property tax will not exceed 1% of the value of your house.
Boy, I'm moving.
But the goal of all this really is to make of our state, I always say, the best sandbox in America. So we've tried to lower the cost of doing business, lower the cost of creating jobs for people every way we can. Taxes, energy costs, cost of getting from point A to point B by building roads, cost that regulation, you know, the government regulation imposes on businesses. And now every time somebody does a little survey of where the best places are for business, you've got a few Sunbelt states and this little island of Indiana. And the goal is to, in a highly portable economy, is what you just said, that people of enterprise and businesses will come to our state and bring their jobs with them.
That's why you went to China, isn't it?
Yeah, we go. That's all about insourcing jobs and investment. You know, Hoosiers and people from Illinois have spent a lot of money every year, send a lot of money out there in the world, buy these products. We like the idea of going out there and getting those dollars, bringing them home, and putting somebody to work with them.
Okay, so exactly when you're in China, what is it you're trying to do? Sell goods that are produced in Indiana?
Only incidentally. We did talk a little bit about some of our agricultural products and making sure they have access to those markets. But the main goal has been, and all these trips, has been an in-source investment. I'm not interested in seeing more of our dollars go there, quite the reverse. And Indiana has been number one in America the last 3 years at foreign direct investment, meaning inbound investment. There, somebody comes here, builds a factory or another business, and hires Hoosiers.
Well, very good. I want to talk about a sleepover. You do sleepovers with all your Hoosier constituents.
Oh,
we got to get to that, but we'll have to take a quick break first.
Yeah, and traffic and weather, and more on the Olympics as well. It's 717 WLS.
Olympic City decision coverage happens here. The Big 89 WLS, Chicago.
722 with Don Wade and Roma. We're going to check in with Governor of Illinois, Pat Quinn. He's in Copenhagen after the 7:30 news, find out how things are going. He says he's going to kiss a lot of babies over there to try to get the Olympics here. In the meantime, we're talking with Indiana's Governor, Mitch Daniels, who's doing an awful lot of things right. And a lot of people are thinking, boy, we could learn some lessons. One of the things that's unique about you, Governor Daniels, is that you sleep at a lot of people's houses. I don't know how that works. You go around the state of Indiana and
let's be precise about this.
You don't ever stay in hotels. You stay at people's houses.
Yeah. Well, I've been traveling the state. You know, remember when I never ran for anything before, and nobody knew who the heck I was. So I said to these folks who persuaded me to do it, okay, but we're going to do this a little differently. And we sort of hit the road, never really have come off. And it started as a way to save money. I said, we must have some volunteers out there. Ask one of them, can I just use a spare couch or bedroom? And it became a pattern. I've now mooched on, I don't know, I think we're getting close to 100 families of every kind you can imagine. Every Most of them, by the way, you know, folks of quite modest, ordinary circumstances.
Yeah.
Do you just knock on a random door and say, hi there, I'm the governor of Indiana?
No, not quite like that. I don't know how our folks come up with people anymore. I think that we usually call a friend or maybe the Farm Bureau or somebody like that in a county where
you're going.
Fits the flight better and see who knows somebody. But
so the middle of the night, you wander down to their kitchen to get a drink of milk.
Do you wear your slippers and robe?
You know what? I try not to show up too early because you like to leave time. By the way, you can learn an awful lot in the last hour or two before lights out, just talking to people, listening to people. A lot of folks have said to me, gosh, I just wouldn't be comfortable doing that. I've never had any problem. I've enjoyed it. I have slept in guest rooms, spare rooms, lots of kids' rooms.
Mothballs.
Oh, everything. You wake up and there's little pink bunny rabbits around. Yeah. And where am I? But
you sure get to know the people of your state.
You do. And God bless them, Americans. Few of them really sit around thinking about politics all the time, and I hope we never become that kind of country. And so it's a good way to just remind yourself what is on the minds of people. And I've learned a lot of the problems we have gone and worked on, I first heard about, if not in an overnight home, and then in a saloon somewhere where we just dropped in as we...
Bike trip. I know, your road trips.
Well, every... Two wheels, four wheels, whatever you got, we get around.
Yeah. So you learn it from the people.
Well, I think the basis of Mitch Daniels' philosophy, if there is one, I found in another Wall Street Journal piece by Kimberly Strassel. It says, you won the 2004 election by promising one goal. Every successful enterprise has a very clear strategic purpose. And so we said, all right, the strategic purpose of our administration is to raise the net disposable income of Hoosiers. Everything else is just a means to that end.
Right.
So, because if everybody has sufficient money, they can pretty much take care of themselves.
Right. And then they are more free. The more dollars they have that they can spend themselves, the more they can exercise the freedoms that we're lucky enough to have in this country. That is our operation. It's what we talked about earlier. You can raise the money in people's pockets by bringing more jobs to the state. You can raise that by lowering taxes so they keep more of what they earned.
Yeah.
Anything that heads in that direction, we think, adds to the happiness and the opportunity for our citizens and our kids. And to me, that's what government should be about. You know, government never created any wealth or jobs. Some people seem to forget this. And bad government can destroy jobs or drive them somewhere else. What good government creates the conditions, the environment, the climate, whereby free men and women create wealth for each other. And that's what we're trying to do in Indiana.
What a great philosophy. You also espoused a great philosophy in your rousing Butler University commencement speech a while ago when you denounced your own me generation. Why did you do that?
I was trying to say something original. You know, nobody remembers who spoke at their commencement, so they're dangerous. I don't take very many of them because you really have to think, I believe, try to say something that isn't just cliches. And I don't think I denounced anybody. I said that, you know, we look back on our parents. My parents' generation is the greatest generation. I think that's a fair description. They won World War II. They fought their way through the Depression and so forth. And I simply said, not too many generations leave that kind of mark, and I don't think ours will. And I pointed out that we're leaving a ton of debt to our young people, that we haven't necessarily behaved culturally in the best of ways. And it's not an indictment. Very few generations deserve to be called great.
It's
just said we weren't one of them. And, yeah, I was trying to – I knew the speech probably had it. I communicated what I meant to anyway when the faculty growled and scowled and the students gave me a standing ovation. So,
well, you exhorted them to do exactly what you're saying about our states, to live responsibly, to live within your means, to be a more responsible, less selfish and indulgent nation.
Yeah, think about others, think about the future, and not everything about me, me, me. And you know, I pointed out that people wore T-shirts. If it feels good, do it. People, we call ourselves, or somebody did, the me generation.
You bet.
And that's not necessarily the way you want to be thought of when you're gone.
Governor, you are a kick. And I like to talk to frugal people.
He loves it. You're talking to them.
You know, that's the way I live, and that's the way I appreciate people like that.
Our phones are all lit up. If you could come back and visit with us another time when it isn't the big Olympic day, it would be a great boon to our listeners to be able to carry on a conversation.
Well, I'd love it. I said, I hope I haven't killed the ratings. I hope you still have some listeners left.
I think we
sure
do.
All right.
It'd be great.
Well, thank
fun.
You so much,
thank you.
Governor Mitch Daniels.
Coming up, we got news, and then we're going to talk to Illinois Governor Pat Quinn about what's going on in Copenhagen. Hey, is there something rotten in Denmark? Somebody said that. It's 729 WLS.